Welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, brought to you by TournamentPokerEdge.com, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to poker tournament strategy. Now here's your host, Clayton Fletcher.
Hello once again, everybody, and welcome to the Tournament Poker Edge podcast, sponsored by ACR Poker, where from now until Memorial Day weekend, we are in the middle of our OSSXL. That's right, our biggest tournament series of the year with over $40 million in guaranteed prize pools and a $60,000 leaderboard. My name is Clayton Fletcher, and I am in serene, bucolic New York City, where I am counting the days until the World Series of Poker begins at the end of this month. Happy to be bringing you yet another episode of this longest-running poker strategy podcast in world history. And today I want to start off with another look at a couple of hands that we discussed last week. Now, these are from day three of last year's WSOP main event. And this time I want to use the help of a tool called GTO Wizard, which to me is the greatest tool on the market to help you improve your poker game. And this week, GTO Wizard released something called The Daily Dose of GTO. It's an interactive ebook, completely free to download, and it contains over 300 poker quizzes, hand examples, bite-sized theory, and tips to help players get familiar with GTO strategies. You can get your copy at dailydoseofgto.com. All right, let's take a look at last week's hands once again and see what the solver has to say. In this hand, the blinds were 1,000 and 2,500 with a 2,500 big blind ante early on day three, not yet near the money. And Clément Richer from France opened with pocket sixes from second position to 5,000 off of a stack of 118. And Adam Friedman, also with about 118, called from the hijack with king of clubs, jack of clubs. Solver loves both decisions, nearly 100% accuracy there. The pot was 16,000 and the flop came king of diamonds, queen of spades, six of spades. So Friedman had top pair and Richer had bottom set. Richer checked, and Friedman checked behind. So Richer is supposed to employ a very complicated strategy on this board with pocket sixes. He does check about 20% of the time, but mostly bets a small amount, and occasionally even bets a large amount. The solver loves Friedman's play. 62% of the time, we do check back, which is a big surprise to me. What do you want to flop with King Jack? I mean, he's got a King High flop here. He's got three to a straight, but he is supposed to check behind 62% of the time. So the pot was still 16,000 on the turn where the Queen of Hearts paired the board. And again, Richer checked. And again, Friedman checked behind. Solver likes it. I mean, Richer is supposed to check his full house about 50% of the time and mostly betting very, very small, like one big blind most of the time that we do bet. And Friedman again gets credit checking 50% of the time with the king. I mean, this is a surprise to me. At what point are we supposed to bet and try to get some value? I mean, yeah, we do bet half the time, but you may be surprised that when Friedman does bet, he's supposed to bet on the larger side, anywhere from two-thirds to full pot. And the river came the ace of spades, completing everything. And now Richer bets, finally, he bets 6,000 into 16,000. And Friedman made the call, basically a pure bet and pure call for both players. So the solver likes the way both players played that river. So I'm surprised. Let me know if you are also surprised. You can hit me up in the Discord. We have a free TPE Discord. There's a link in the description of this podcast. Just click that link and join the conversation. All right, let's move on to the other hand from last week. In this one, a player named Brian Acheson a bowling alley owner from the Midwest, opens with King of Clubs 10 of Spades from the hijack, and it folded to the big blind Martin Villa de Soleiro of Chile, who I, for obvious reasons, prefer to call VDS. He calls from the big blind with the ace of spades, deuce of spades. So far, so good. GTO Wizard approves both players' pre-flop decisions. And the flop came king of spades, 10 of diamonds, 4 of spades. So we have top two pair and a backdoor flush draw versus the nut flush draw and an overcard. And so ace deuce of spades from the big blind VDS checks. Atchison bets 6,000 into the 15,500 pot. And VDS calls. Now, I believe on last week's podcast, I mentioned that I thought this was a great spot for a check raise from the big blind with the ace high flush draw. But let's see what the solver has to say. The solver always checks in VDS's shoes with the nut flush draw and always bets with top two pair and prefers this sizing, right around a quarter pot. The solver almost never checks and calls, though, with the ace deuce suited. Strongly prefers the check raise almost always, as I suspected, with the nut flush draw. So now the pot remained at 27,500 when the turn 8 of spades brought the flush. VDS checks again. This time Atchison still bets with top two pair and now a 10 high flush draw, which would be no good were it to come in. And VDS opts to check raise now on the turn now that he got there, making it 45,000, and Atchison made the call. Obviously, in the GTO universe, we almost never have the nut flush here because we would have almost always have raised on the flop. But in the rare occasion that we have this particular hand, we're supposed to bet out about 80% of the time. So solver doesn't like VDS's decision on the flop or here on the turn. But let's check Atchison with the King 10. It's a mixed strategy, but we are supposed to check behind about 55% of the time. Although when we bet, the small sizing, about one-third pot, is approved. Now let's check out that check raise to 45,000. No, again, solver prefers a much bigger sizing, more like 60,000 or even 80,000. Hardly ever going with the 4.5x check raise. But when we do it, on the rare occasion that we do it, which is only about 7% of the time, King 10 is a pure call versus the smaller check raise sizing. So a lot to unpack there, but as played, the pot stood at 117,500 and the effective stack was our big blind VDS with 132 remaining, and the river came another spade, the Jack of Spades, and this time having check raised on the turn, VDS bets 75K into 117, so right around two-thirds pot, and Atchison called. Solver hardly ever has the ace-deuce of spades with all of these, shall we say, alternative lines, but on the very rare occasion that we get to the river this way, this bet sizing is very strongly preferred. We only check 8% of the time, and we bet two-thirds pot, about 83%. So VDS, once you get here, at least you played the river well. But should Atchison call with the 10 of spades, 10 high flush? And the answer is yes. The solver strongly approves the call, only folding 16% of the time. So a lot to unpack, especially with all of those check raises and check call and all the different things that went on there. And if you want to improve your game using GTO Wizard, there's a link in the description of the podcast. You click that link, you get 24 hours unlimited access to my favorite poker training tool and 10% off your first purchase. The link is gtowizard.com/p/TPE. All right, let's continue day three with some more hands from this same table. We have Adam Freeman, we have Tom Dwan, and we have my new favorite Chilean, VDS himself. And in this hand, we're still at 1K and 2,500. with 2,500 big blind ante, and VDS opens to 5,500 off of a stack of 295,000, so over 100 bigs for VDS, and Adam Friedman makes the call from the hijack. So the original raise from third position with a hand that I have yet to reveal, and then a call from the hijack, and Friedman, by the way, has a stack of 185,000. And while he makes the call, he kind of shakes his head and says, "This is embarrassing." And here the commentators chimed in with, "That's not the kind of table talk you hear every day, move over Will Kasuf kind of thing." Yeah, well, like, what would that mean to you if you were sitting there at the table and you watched a guy, "This is embarrassing," and flick in a call? Like, how would you interpret that? Strong, weak? What sort of hand do you think he would have? I'll tell you later what Friedman actually had, but you think about that. "This is embarrassing," kind of shaking his head as he makes the call. Durr folds in the cutoff, and on the button, we're going to play this hand from the button. Emil Tuominen from Finland, Phil Helmuth's favorite part of the world, Northern Europe, has 107 in his stack, just about 43 big blinds, and he's got the king of clubs, 10 of clubs, on the button with about 40 bigs, facing an early position raise and a middle position call. I think all three options are totally fine here. I mean, the value of three betting, like going for the squeeze here, is there's a lot to win. I mean, if we can squeeze this and take it down right now pre-flop, even just doing that would increase our stack by about 15%, which is not insignificant. We also have a king, which is a very important blocker, and we have a reasonable hand that even if, as long as we don't get four bet, if someone happens to call, we'll be in position with a hand that flops pretty well, king 10 suited. So yeah, I kind of like pre-betting with this once in a while, trying to take it down, but knowing that you will have position on the button for the rest of the hand. That's a good play. Maybe put in 25,000 and see if we can take this down. Calling is also okay, guys. I feel like, you know, the value of calling is that you don't risk as many chips, and you will be able to exploit your positional advantage throughout the remainder of the hand, which is very important. That's a real good case for not three betting and actually seeing a flop with this suited king 10. Now, if you tell me you just want to fold, I'm okay with that even. Here in the main event, 43 big blinds. We're not in any hurry. We don't have to get involved. It is a fairly mediocre holding facing a raise and a call. And I feel the conservative approach of just throwing this one away is totally fine. Let's see what Tuominen decided to do. And the Finn obviously is aggressive. Instead of 25, which was the amount that I wanted to squeeze to, he just makes it 22,000. And that does the trick, actually getting two better hands to fold. VDS had opened with king, queen offsuit, so he had him very well dominated. And Adam Friedman had flatted with pocket fives. I have to wonder how much of a factor Friedman's table talk played. You know, is it easier for me to squeeze if I feel like I believe that you actually are embarrassed, that you're flatting again with another marginal hand, which appeared to be what Friedman was saying? And would you ever say this is embarrassing while flatting with a slow play with pocket aces, pocket kings? I just don't know that you ever would. And it appears that we just had a misstep, a lapse of focus from a very strong poker player, Adam Friedman himself. Let me know what you guys think. Did the table talk influence the decision, or is it just that the Scandinavian did what Scandinavians do? You can also find me on Twitter at Clayton Comic. Always appreciate your feedback. Let's do one more hand from the same level. This one came right before the break, and it's kind of a doozy. Adam Friedman now in second position. This isn't right after the other hand. This is later, almost at the break. Friedman, who's been rather active, but to be fair, he's had a lot of playable hands. And he's got another one. He's got the ace of hearts, king of diamonds in second position. And he opens to 5,500. Finally, a hand where Durr gets involved. He makes the call. I'm not going to tell you what he had just yet. I will reveal that later, but I also want to reveal that Tom Dwan, at this stage of the main event, was sitting on a stack of 452,000, almost 200 big blinds. What a feeling. He makes the call in third position, and then on his immediate left, Emil Tuominen makes the call with 147,000 behind, and the action folds around to the small blind, Monsieur Richet, who is in the small blind with the 8 of spades, 6 of spades, and looking at all of this action ahead of him, folds his hand, which kind of surprised me, because those are the kind of hands I often get myself into trouble with when the pot is already getting big and I feel like I have a hand that can flop a straight or a flush. I tend to get a little bit tempted to get involved, so nice disciplined fold by Richet here. And then our old pal from Chile, VDS, in the big blind with 275,000 chips, makes the call. And now it's Adam Friedman against the world with ace-king and a bunch of opponents, 4 total to the flop. I've only revealed one of their hands. And now with 25,500 in the middle, the flop comes king of hearts, 10 of clubs, 6 of hearts, king 10-6 with 2 hearts, Adam Friedman with the ace-king, including, by the way, the ace of hearts, and our big blind VDS checks. Adam Friedman, what should we do with 3 opponents and top pair, top kicker? Well, there's 25,500 in the middle. I think checking is probably defensible, but I personally would probably bet about 2/3 of the pot, maybe in the range of 17,000-ish. Friedman goes with a smaller bet, just putting in 10,500 into the 25,500 pot. And Tom Dwan, on his immediate left, makes the call. Tuominen throws away the ace of diamonds, tray of diamonds, and VDS makes the call from the big blind. So we still have 2 opponents. The pot is now 57,000, and the turn comes the 5 of clubs. So our board is now king of hearts, 10 of clubs, 6 of hearts, 5 of clubs. Big blind checks once again. What do you want to do with ace king here? I mean, we've got the ace of hearts, but the hearts didn't come through. Now there are 2 hearts and 2 clubs on the board. Lots of draws available. I feel like I'm going to go for a large bet right now on the turn. And it's largely because I just don't want to mess around with Dwan. If I check here or bet small, Dwan can get tricky with a lot of different hands that have significant equity versus my top pair, top kicker. So I'd rather bet big and either have him just call with a decent draw or fold everything that I have beat. To put it another way, I just want Tom Dwan out of my pot if I can get him out. And I think with 57K in the middle, something like 40K should do that job just fine. But Friedman bets only 24K, so just under half the pot. And I'm sure he was very happy to see Tom Dwan fold. I can now reveal Durr actually had pocket queens, so he was pretty tricky from the get-go. I mean, Adam Friedman's been very active at this table, and I think that Dwan was hoping the Scandinavian guy would put in another 3-bet so that maybe Dwan could try to get all in versus whatever he had. It could also be that Durr knows Adam Friedman is a pretty solid player, so he just was showing respect for Friedman's early position raising range. But even against a fairly tight player, we should mostly be 3-betting with pocket queens, which makes me wonder whether Durr had some shenanigans up his sleeve. Anyway, it didn't work out. Nobody 3-bet, so Durr couldn't build a big pot pre-flop. And so now that Friedman bets again into 2 opponents on the turn, Durr figures out that his queens are no good and they go into the muck. But the big blind, Mr. VDS, makes the call. So we're going to be heads up in position. Hero with the ace of hearts, king of diamonds. And now with 105,000 in the middle, the river comes the ace of clubs for a final board of king of hearts, 10 of clubs, 6 of hearts, 5 of clubs, ace of clubs. So we do have top 2 pair, but the flush got there and the straight got there. And now VDS checks. Should we try to get some value out of top 2 pair versus the big blind. Well, let's talk about this guy, VDS. We've been playing with him now for several hours. And look, the guy's pretty good. You know, he's a good player. He's kind of tricky. He's more than capable of slow playing. So the question is, can we get value from a one pair hand like King Jack? Well, to me, I think the answer is no. Everything got there, and VDS is not going to check pay off with a hand like King Jack. He's just not. So if we go for value, we're hoping he has like bottom two or some other hand that we can beat, but that would be curious enough to call us. I think it's a little too thin, especially in the main event. I think Adam Friedman needs to check behind and hope that two pair is still good when every single draw came in. And that's what Friedman does, guys. He checks behind, and VDS wins the big pot with the queen of spades, jack of clubs. He rivered a straight. And to me, among other things, this hand really demonstrates the value of position. I mean, VDS has a great hand, but he doesn't get any more value even against a hand as strong as two pair. Had Friedman been out of position, I'm pretty sure he would have still checked this river, but might have had to pay off a decent-sized river bet with top two. Fortunately for Friedman, he doesn't have to lose any more chips because he was smart enough to check it back. And that'll do it for this episode. Guys, hope to see some of you this Sunday in the TPE free roll, a $1,000 giveaway on ACR Poker. You can get all the details on how to enter this Sunday's 6 p.m. Eastern Time free roll by joining the TPE Discord using the link in the description of this episode. And for everyone here at Tournament Poker Edge, with special thanks, as always, to our very generous sponsor, ACR Poker, I'm Clayton Fletcher. Thank you so much for listening.
I wanna hold them like they do in Texas, please. Fold them, let them hit me, raise it, baby, stay with me. Luck and intuition, play the cards with babes to start. And after she's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on her heart.